Welcome to the Engagement Fit Drive podcast. I'm Andrew Aubrey.
And I'm Tracy Moxie. Through insightful discussions and practical strategies, get ready to unlock the tools you need to thrive and make your unique mark on the world.
In this two-part episode, Tracy and I will be discussing my skeptic drive in contrast with her pioneer drive, helping you relate to how these two drives play out, how they contrast, and ultimately, the valuable contribution they can make to one another. Welcome back. In part two of episode two, we'll be unpacking the pioneer drive in contrast to the skeptic drive, which we discussed in part one. If you haven't listened to part one, you may want to pause this and take a listen to part one first. Otherwise, let's dive in. I'd like to explain what a contrasting drive is, just for clarity, and then we can go into the pioneer.
So the reason the skeptic and the pioneer drives are so contrasting is that as the skeptic wants to mitigate risk and the pioneer needs risk. So they're very contrasting. The energy is different. The pioneer drive is an accomplishing drive, not a thinking drive. So as a pioneer, you may tend to be naturally entrepreneurial and confident. You may inspire others with your confidence and willingness to take on things that nobody else would dare do, and may offer others a lot of certainty because of your strong self-belief. You might enjoy cutting a new path and find that going solo is often more energizing than being team dependent, simply because you can take more risks and experience better results, both through success and failure. You may often prefer to do things yourself, that's the entrepreneur side, or to be in charge. You will tend to have a strong can-do attitude and a high degree of resilience. Pioneers are natural risk takers and thrive in conditions where they can go into uncharted waters, take risks, and have the mandate to be entrepreneurial or go it alone. So I don't know if any of you can hear in my voice, but that is me to a T. That whole description fits me like a glove as one of my dominant drive. It makes sense to me. Everything in that descriptor is me to a T. I've lived my whole life like that. And then just to let you know the needs of the pioneer. So we need the freedom to act independently and make our own decisions. Do not hold us back. We need to break new ground and take risks. We need to follow our dreams and we lean on our confidence to do this. So when I think back to my life, and I've had quite a few different jobs from admin to sales, I've done quite a few different things. And where I thrived was when I had this, when I had the mandate to be my own boss, where I can make my own decisions and run with what I need to, and nobody's telling me what I can and what I can't do. That is where I thrived. And this is where, once again, if you have a pioneer in your team, do not cut him or her off by her legs and not let her or him be that beautiful human being. Obviously, within the constraints or the perimeters of that job that they have. But you will get the best out of them when they have this freedom. As a pioneer, I've had to learn some hard lessons. Life is not always about being solo. Life is not always about you having it your way and making your own decisions. Sometimes you have to stop and learn. And I wish I had known this when I was a lot younger. I think life would have been a lot easier for me. But so grateful to learning the skills now of how to really master this drive. And obviously now having my own business, I am independent and I do make my own decisions. But also learning that when I do work with my fellow colleagues on projects and come together, that their insight and their input and the way they see things is very, very, very valuable.
I wanted to ask you about that self-confidence, what it looks like for you and What does it feel like embodied?
Yes, and sometimes I used to think, am I a bit arrogant, a bit cocky, a bit too self-assured? Because it does come so natural. And I often hear people ask, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and one question that comes up is, what is your relationship with fear? And there again, when I go deep and I go, I really don't have fear. Yes, I get nervous. If I go and do a talk in front of 100 people, I get nervous. But the confidence that in my mind, nothing can go wrong. And I don't know, this is just like we say, where there's this natural energy of this. It's the risk that we don't think there's any risk. When I think if something does go wrong, it doesn't matter because it's not really going wrong. I'll learn from it and I'll pioneer a new way. I'll find a different way of doing it. So that confidence is huge, Andrew, because you know that people are attracted, or people resonate with confidence, because if they don't themselves, it helps other people. But it is a true gift to have that. I must be honest with you that anything I do and I go and do, there's never in me what could go wrong. There's never any, I'm not going to do it because I'm scared. I just go and I do it. And what will be, will be.
So I'd like to lead on with another question around that, around the concept of calculated risk. So you've already made the point that fear doesn't really play a part in it. What have you learned around risk and calculated risk, taking calculated risk?
Andrew, can I ask you to just expand on calculated? What exactly mean
Okay.
by that?
So when I
Calculated.
say calculated risk, it's obviously, you're going to need scenarios and contexts. These drives are situational in a context or a situation. Now, there are going to be times where what you really need is you need somebody who can go into uncharted territory, be confident in that space. Would I be correct in saying sometimes you just need someone else to ask you, have you considered the cost of what this would be? There are some lessons you don't want to find out when you're halfway through that that's had a severe impact that we didn't see coming. Does that make sense in terms of calculated risk?
Yes. And the reason why I have never had to have that risk is because I've never ventured on something like that. So when I do venture into something new or start something new, remember in the pioneer's mind, nothing can go wrong. You're on a quest and you will sort it out. You will find a new way. So I don't ever go into something thinking that anything can go wrong. In my mind, remember, nothing's going wrong. We're going ahead. We're going to make it. We're going to forge our way. It doesn't matter how. Yes, the sea will get a bit rough, but that's okay. We'll ride those waves. The ship might spill over every now and again, but we will right it. So remember, Andrew, that we're going back to that. It's not a thinking drive, it's a doing drive. So we do, in our minds, we're going. Doesn't matter how we're going, how are we going to get there? I don't even have to know which way to go. I'll just get in and go. I completely understand that in a scenario where this is going to have huge costs, I'm saying get your pioneer with the go energy to get going, but you're going to need somebody like the skeptic that has evaluated everything and the cost and the risk, and actually, are we going to go? So that's where the team dynamics are so beautiful. A pioneer can want to get going and off we go, but we do need some come back down to earth. Hang on, let's not pull up that anchor just yet. And that's where they work so beautifully in hand in hand.
Skeptics also need to know where there are situations or context where you need more of that pioneering type input so that you can get going and that you are not stuck in with this absolute need of certainty, because that is not a given in life. I wanted to ask you a question around, have you ever had a situation in your life where that energy, that pioneer energy is at play, and you've had resistance from other people and you felt they're not buying in, I need to pioneer ahead anyway, and I'm going to go because I'm going to back myself with my self-confidence?
Yes, very often, and has got me into trouble. There's been a couple of examples. Okay, so, and obviously, it's going to pertain to working with other people, not being on my own and doing my own thing. So, for example, being on a committee where I have that, this is how it's going to be, and I do marketing on the on this committee, and then having feedback from others where it's going to be too expensive or we're not going to make enough money. And I do have to back myself in that I know I can make it work and I know I can do it. So there again, that strong confidence of I'll make it work no matter what. If I have to stay up till midnight, I will do that. If I have to get people in to help me do it, I will do that, but I will make it work. So you have to, we do back ourselves, Andrew, definitely. And then another example is working in corporate, which is very, very difficult for Pioneer because of all the red tape, because you need to get five people to agree on a decision that you make. That for me was very, very frustrating because I can see how what I'm going to do is going to be hugely beneficial. And now, because of red tape, we're going to delay this by hours, days, and actually costing the company money because you cannot sign off on this.
We've mentioned previously about the importance of effective communication. And just something in Tracy's last example that I would really like to highlight, and why I feel that this particular work and framework is so valuable, is that we both need to ask ourselves, what is right with me? How we relate with other people when we've got dominant, contrasting drives like this. The question's going to be around, so what do I need to let go? If I'm a skeptic, and one of the needs of a skeptic is to be heard. And with a pioneer who is leading the charge, just the importance of being able to say, have you considered these things? And the pioneer says, yes, we've looked at these, we've made a decision, and we're going forward. That need to have been heard around areas which I think could cause problems or could have too much risk associated and so on. I've been heard and I can now let that thing go. I've brought my insights forward. They have been considered, and the pioneer is going to take the charge again and go forward, and I can follow in that space.
And there again, Andrew, also from the pioneer side to communicate that with the people in your team.
And I think the thing that is very important to understand about the pioneer drive is that natural self-confidence to go and do. Sometimes you can drag people like myself, which is a dominant skeptic, with other drives that are more aimed towards stability and predictability. And it can make people like us feel very uncomfortable. If you're leading the charge, but you're taking us into an area where we are feeling overwhelmed by things because of constant change or lots of risk.
For me, Andrew, you know that I watch body language. I can see in you when you're feeling overwhelmed or whatever. So it's exactly that. Remember that communication, only 7% is verbal. So it's to take cognizance of the people, maybe just stepping back, literally physically stepping back because they're just feeling this overwhelm. And that's part of your communication progress is to rather lead where you have everybody where they are comfortable being. Yes, you're going to be a little bit out of your comfort zone. They sometimes call them just right challenges. It's not pushing people where they won't succeed because they're too overwhelmed and their nervous system actually just cannot now take on this thing that you're throwing at them. So meet them where they're at and lead them through that process, being there with them, giving them what they need. In your case, I need to give you more information. I need you to bring your confidence into having more information about something. So finding what that person needs to go forward, that's the key.
Another incredibly valuable understanding of this drive framework is this concept of knowing when to lead and when to follow. And the more you can be true to who you are in these drives and the differences that they bring, and to manage it well, you start giving people that you work with regularly an opportunity to trust the value of what that particular drive might bring. And that can be so helpful in terms of collaboration. This is a specific situation. What is called for here? I need Tracy in this particular area because I need a perspective that can give me a bigger picture. And maybe it's a situation where both her insight and my insight are valuable. And so how do we navigate going forward here? And that's where the concept of intentional collaboration becomes really powerful.
Yes, we're not supposed to do life alone. We're supposed to do life together. And Andrew, I've just had a beautiful, beautiful thought. Say you and I are in the car together and I'm driving. I am behind the steering wheel and I'm flooring it. I'm doing 130 on the freeway. And you say to me, Tracy, do you mind slowing down? And I say to you, Andrew, I've got this. I've been driving for 30 years. Do not worry. And I keep my foot on the gas and I keep going. How does that make you feel?
Like I want to jump out the car or take over.
Exactly. But if I slow down, if I say, oh, Andrew, I hear you. I come back to 120, maybe 110, and we carry on going. And then maybe I speed up. And then you ask me to slow down again. How does that make you feel?
So, well, once again, I think it's going to depend on context. So I might have absolutely no problem with you doing 150 on a straight road. But if you're doing 150 and you're approaching a corner, then my mind's going to go, is this car actually going to make it round the corner? And if we do, is she going to be able to actually handle it if we lose control?
Yes.
And that would be a great metaphor of, or picture of how those two mindsets might see. You might have absolute confidence, and it might even be the case that you've cornered it at 150 before and you've made it through the corner.
Yes.
But I don't know that. And everything about me is saying, whoa, slow down.
Sure, but how did you feel when I did slow down?
So certainly it would have helped in saying, okay, well, I'm actually being heard, which is really valuable. And therefore, I can calm down a little bit and feel more relaxed. Although,
and that is actually the moral of that story, is that even though I think I'm a good driver, remember, I'm pioneer, I can go it alone, I don't need your input, I know what I'm doing, I'm a risk taker. If I can slow down and go, sure, actually, he's not feeling as comfortable as me. That is where you need to kind of use that analogy in your teams. Is just step, come back to where that person is not feeling comfortable. Let them feel confident again. And then you can go faster because you know the next time you ask me to slow down, I will slow down.
Sure. And I like that. There is just one other consideration on the picture of hitting the corner at 150 kilometers an hour. Is even though you might have the self-confidence and the skill and the car can perform at that speed around the corner, if that's a blind corner, you can't see what's coming. What happens if there's a vehicle in the road or an obstruction?
Yes. Could be a big accident. It wouldn't be so good.
I think that's a great picture. Thanks, Tracy. I want to thank you for your time today, and I hope that our discussion and the content that we have shared with you gives you a little bit more context and understanding around the skeptic and the pioneer drive. Remembering, of course, that there will be many aspects of those descriptors that you resonate with, and it's okay if there are some that you don't resonate with because your other drives, experience, skill, and knowledge will influence those. The big thing around the drive framework that I think is hugely valuable for people is being able to understand what is right with you and how to back yourself, and that there is no such thing as a wrong drive or a bad pattern of thinking, feeling, or behaving. Certainly, we need to manage those energies so that they can become strengths. And if we don't manage those dominant drives properly, they become detriments to myself or others. And those are the things that we need to focus on. Every single way of thinking, feeling, and behaving has huge value and brings impact and contribution uniquely in a context or situation.
And through our making these podcasts, this is our intention, is for you to really understand your drives and how they impact you and why you do the things you do, and bringing that awareness so that you can exactly that, navigate your life with more ease and more understanding. I want to say thank you so much for joining us and giving up your time to be with us and learning about these drives. And we'd really love to hear your feedback. If skeptic resonates with you, how does it show up in your life? Because remember, you're a unique individual. And if you're a pioneer, how does it show up in your life? How has it held you back? What have you learned from having this as one of your drives?
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Engagement Fit Drive podcast.
We hope you found invaluable insights that will empower you on your path to self-discovery and fulfillment.
Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with anyone who's ready to unlock their full potential.
Until next time, keep engaging, keep thriving, and keep driving towards a life filled with purpose.